of the parshas that talk about Esav and Yaakov. So I'd like to say a klal, and I think with this klal you can understand maybe the whole geshichta, what's doing with Esav and Yaakov. Because when you learn Pashup Shat in the Chumash, it's very schwer. The Pashup Shat in the Chumash is as follows, that Esav and Yaakov were brothers, they were rivals to who's going to get the Bechor. So Yaakov sort of like duped Esav into selling him the Bechor. And then later on, Yaakov goes and, don't want to use the connive, but that's the Pashup Shat, and he gets himself to be blessed instead of Esav. So how do we understand all this? The whole hanhoga of Yaakov with Yosef, I mean Esav, seems very, very modern, very strange. So let's go first. Why did Yaakov get his name? Before I masber that, I want to masber you what a name is. In Hebrew, in Chumash, a name is not just a name. A name is the essence of a person. The word for Hebrew name is shem. Shem also could be the word shom. So shem is shom. Shem is what the person is. So when we find the name in Chumash, especially, the name is just his name. In other words, let's say someone called you Moshe. Doesn't mean that you are like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's just maybe your grandfather's name was Moshe, and therefore you get the name Moshe. But in Chumash, if someone is called by a name, that is the very essence of his name. For instance, the word neshama. Neshama is the soul of a person. You take the two middle layers of the word neshama, shame. Because the soul, the essence of the soul, is the name that a person has. So it's very important when the Chumash tells you names to understand what's going on. Okay, we'll leave Esav out for a few minutes because I want to really speak about Yaakov. Why did Yaakov get his name? Very interesting. The pasuk says, you know why he got his name? When they were born, so there was a rival. Who's going to be the Bechor? Is Esav going to be the Bechor or Yaakov's going to be the Bechor? Now Rashi says that Yaakov was actually, he was created first. In other words, the first fetus that was created was Yaakov. Rashi gives a mashal, but if you put two stones in a tube, so the last stone in is the first stone out. So that's what happened over here also. Yaakov was first in, and Esau became first out. What does it say? That when they came out, Yaakov was reaching out with his hand to grab the heel of Esau. Says Rashi, what do you mean he's grabbing the heel of Esau? So Rashi explains he was trying to pull Esau back so he would go out first. And because of that, they named his name Yaakov, from Lashon Ekev. Isn't that strange that Yaakov, the Bechir Sheva Abba, should get his name because he's trying to grab the heel of Esav? Doesn't seem the right name for such a Chasheva Ab. You would think it would have some more spiritual highlight, you know, that his name Yaakov is because he's holding on to the heel of Esav. Must be, as we said before, the name symbolizes the essence of a person. In other words, this is teaching up, this is explaining to us the purpose of what Yaakov is going to do in his life. What is that? The purpose of Yaakov in his life is to take everything Esav has and bring it into his power. In other words, Esav was blessed with certain kaychas, and Esav was excellent in certain kaychas. And you, throughout the whole parsha of Esav and Yaakov, you find out that Yaakov is just going and taking away what Esav has. And this is a very important thing to understand what's happening over here. Okay, so first we just said, Yaakov was putting out his hand to pull in Esav that he shouldn't be the Bechor. Didn't work. Esav got out first. Esav is the Bechor. And as far as Yitzchak is concerned, Yitzchak is Midas Hadin, right? Yitzchak is strict judgment. According to strict judgment, Esav gets the Bechor. Yitzchak didn't know any kunstlich that, no, really, Yaakov is better. Esav's the Bechor, gets the Bechor. Right, so Mela, and that's how Yitzchak held until the end, until finally he was shown not like that. But the point was that Esav really had the Bechira. So we first meet now, afterward, we come to an episode that Avraham Avinu dies, and Yaakov is cooking a meal. By availing, the halacha is that the first meal that an Avel gets should be given by someone else. So Yitzchak now is an Avel, he's in mourning for his father Avraham. And Yaakov was busy cooking the stew for them. Esav comes in from the field, and he's famished. He's hungry. In fact, the Gemara says, Oxalo Bulmus. Oxalo Bulmus means he was in a matzav sakana. If Esav wouldn't get food within the next few minutes, that's it. He's dead. So therefore, Esav is really, really hungry. So Yaakov takes advantage of this moment. He sort of like has Esav in the corner, right? Behind the eight ball, I don't know what it's called, right? So he has him and he says to him, listen, I'm glad to give you this food, but you sell me your Bechaira. So Esav says, Bechaira, what's this Bechaira business about? So Yaakov tells him what it means. Esav says, I see, it's not for me, I don't want it, let's have a deal. So he makes a deal and he sells his Bechaira. So all the Mefarshim ask, isn't Yaakov like taking advantage of Esav? Is that right? Yaakov, the Ish Emes, is that the way to behave? That you know you got Esav in the corner and therefore you sort of like squeeze him until he gives you the Bechaira? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what Yaakov was doing. And there's a Sefer HaChassidim, which says an amazing thing. Don't do this Lamaisa, but he says an amazing thing. He says, if you see a Rasha who has a mitzvah, let's say you have a Rosh who has a Sefer Torah, right? And he's keeping the Sefer Torah, but he's not going to do anything good with it. You're allowed to go and connive and get it from him. So he's like the Sefer HaChassidim, Lamaisa, Laloch. But the point is that Yaakov had all the right to do this because that was Yaakov's job. Yaakov's job was to take from Esav any koyach that he had that could be to Ruchlius. This was the job that was assigned to Yaakov throughout his life, that he had to do such a thing. And that's why Rashi says, when Rivka came back, you know, Rivka was very upset because when she was going past the base of Avodah Zarah, all of a sudden Esav's running to get out. When she went past the base of Medrash, Yaakov's running to get out. Now, she didn't know that. She didn't know there were two, right? She thought it was the same kid. She thought she had a real mixed-up kid over here, like a guy who was, he didn't know if he's a Avodah Zarnik or a base Medrash guy. So she was very worried, it's a schizophrenic over here. Once he's going to Avodah Zarah, the other one he's running for Torah. Oh, finally Shame says, relax. Shnei goyim bevitnei, you're going to have two nations in your midst. One is going to be a Russia, and one is going to be a Tzaddik. Boy, that's a relief. Yeah, right? Why does that settle her down? The answer is that she was being told something very, very, very special. Did we need Esav? Do we need Esav? Let's say, wouldn't it have been better just to have Yaakov? Why is the Ashgacha have that it has to be Esav also? He's no good. He's a Rasha. He gives a Soros throughout the Dairus. So why was it necessary that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create such a situation that there's an Esav and a Yaakov? Now, you can't tell me that there was a Bechira over here. We're talking when Esav was a fetus, right? He didn't have any Bechira yet to be bad or good. It's not pshat is that he chose. Later on, he chose. But over here, there seems to be that this was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He wanted to produce a person like Esav, and he wanted to produce a person like Yaakov. So again, what do we need Esav for? That's a bigger question in Jewish history. Why do we need all these times that every time Jews do something, there's a goy who's trying to take it away from them? There's goyim trying to oppress us throughout the Doris. The answer is that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants it's a situation where we're under the pressure from goyim, and despite that fact, we're able to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it's more enunciated. Over here, it's more stressed a little bit more. Because over here, we want Yaakov, the beginning, to view Esav as the person who he has to overcome. It said that she was told there's going to be a Nevuah. Now, Yitzchak did not have this Nevuah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka hid this from Yitzchak. Now, you have to understand something. Yitzchak was the Gadol Hador, right? So if there are people, even in our generation, that some people claim have this extra special power to see things, right, which other people can't see, you can imagine Yitzchak Avinu certainly had this koyach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Rabbi Moshe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away Yitzchak's clear analysis of the situation, and he sort of like was blinded a little bit to what was happening with Esau. He knew about what was happening, but he didn't know the extent of what was happening. So therefore, Rivka understood. Yitzchak didn't understand that. Yitzchak had another plan. Yitzchak's master plan was, and probably you've heard this, is that they could get along together. Esav and Yaakov can get along together. Now, the question we asked before, what do I need an Esav for? Can I just have a Yaakov? The simple answer to that question is because Yaakov needs someone to support him, right? What does Yaakov do all day? Yoshev Ohalim, right? Right? You don't get much parnasa from yeshiva halim. I don't know if they had big koil checks at those times. Right? I don't think so. Right? It was, and if you didn't work, you didn't have parnasa. So the question is, how is Yaakov going to be able to be the Bechira Avos? How can he be the person who would be able to sit and learn and steig and not go out of the tents of learning? The answer is, this is what Yitzchak thought, Esav, he's a natural. He can go out in the fields. He does it for me. Right? How did Yitzchak get his food? Without Esav, Yitzchak would have starved to death. Who was bringing Yitzchak his food? It was Esav, right? Esav brought the food to Yitzchak. We all know he was excellent in kibud av v'aim. He would do anything for his father, right? Even go into the forest and risk his life. It wasn't so posh to go in the forest and hunt. It was dangerous out there, right? And even Esav, who was an expert hunter, but still, things could happen. Yet, if Yitzchak asked him to get him some food, he would run and do it. And therefore, Yitzchak said, if he can do it for me, why can't he do it for Yaakov also? So Yitzchak understood that Esav's tachlis, Esav's purpose was to feed Yaakov. That's what Yitzchak thought. But Rivka knew better. She had a nevuah. Kishazeh not comes there enough. They can't work together. They can't work together. It won't work, Yitzchak, because Lamaisa, Esav will never work with Yaakov. It's not going to be. But, so now the kasha comes back. If Esav can't work with Yaakov, so what is Esav doing there? What's his purpose? The answer is, we'll see in a minute. Okay, so Yaakov now has to go, and he took away his Bechira. Very good. Then the pasuk goes back, starts talking about Yitzchak and Rivka again, and now we come back to Esav and Yitzchak. So now Yitzchak calls over Esav and says like this, I feel that my death is near. What do you mean by that? His death was not near, but he thought so because, as Rashi tells us, when you come within 5 years of your parents' life, you got to start worrying that maybe you'll be like your parents. So he was nearing the age of when Rivka died. So therefore, Sarah died. He thought that maybe his death would be also soon. So therefore, he called over Esav. He said, "Listen, go. I want to give you the bracha." Again, Yitzchak Lashitasa wants to give him the bracha because he's the Bechor. Rivka, Bekoecha Nevuah, hears this, and she says, no, can't work. You cannot give him the bracha. Now, why don't you tell Yitzchak straight, right? We never find that Rivka goes to Yitzchak and telling him straight what to do. That's a question. That's a very big question. And the answer is that Rivka understood, as we said before, Yitzchak was a tremendous Navi. He was a tremendous... In fact, Yitzchak knew something that no one else in the world knew, except Yosef. He knew that... And the brothers of Yosef. He knew what happened to Yosef. No one else knew. There's only two people who knew that Yosef was alive in Mitzrayim. The two people were Yosef himself. Yaakov didn't know. The Shvatim didn't know. Who knew that he was alive in Mitzrayim? Yitzchak. Yitzchak knew he was in his room, blind... Didn't go out of his room, but he knew that Yaakov was the one that Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, and he knew Yosef was alive. It's a Rashi. Later on, you'll learn it. So he knew that. He certainly probably knew what Esau was like. After all, we're talking about Yitzchak. And therefore, if Yitzchak is doing what he wants, it must be she understood what Ramesha said. She understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka was hiding from Yitzchak Esau's true colors. I'm not going to be better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Yosef doesn't know, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to know. Okay. So therefore, she didn't go directly to him. So therefore, she sort of like, from the back, she came in and she intervened and made sure that Yaakov would get the brachas. Very interesting thing over here. Now listen to this. This works out like very nicely. This I heard b'shem the Rashiv of Long Beach, Rav Fagelstock. He said a very interesting thing. Esav was the best in kibud av v'aim, right? I think it was Rabban Gamliel that said, I don't have the kibud av v'aim 1/100th of what Esav did. What was Esav's godless? Esav's godless was that when he went to serve his father, he put on his best clothes, right? Anytime he went in to serve his father, he didn't wear his dirty clothes from the forest. He didn't even wear clean clothes, but not nice clothes. He wear his Shabbos begotten, right? Put on his... Bekeshe, he put on his strimal, and then he went into Yitzchak and gave him food. That's what he did. And he said, I don't do that because I'm not holding by the bai. So we see that Esau was makbid in kibud av v'aim. I have a kasha. When we look about the time when Yaakov took the brachas, right? Okay, so Yaakov takes the bracha and he eats it. Now, what happens? As soon as he leaves, right? As soon as he leaves, what happens is that Yosef comes in from the field. Now, who was wearing the begadim of that special begadim that Yosef wore? Who was wearing it right now? It was Yaakov. Yeah, that's what it says. So 1 minute. What Yosef should have done is gone to his mother and said, "Mom, please give me the begadim. I have to go serve my father." We don't find he did that. Very modern. Esav, you're the big machbit on Kibbutz Av Ha'Em. All of a sudden, you forgot now to bring out your begadim? And this is the most auspicious time of your life. You're getting the brachas from Yitzchak, and you're not going in to get the begadim. What happened? The teretz is, says Rav Feigelstock, that Yaakov had taken that away from him also. Yaakov had taken away Esav's koyach of Kibbutz Av Ha'Em. Because Yaakov now came in, and he served instead of Esav. He was wearing the begadim. Esav completely forgot about the begadim. He went in without the begadim. Because Esav now, the Kibbutz Av Ha'Em was taken away from Esav and he no longer had that. Yaakov now was the person who had the Kibbutz Av Ha'Em. And therefore he was able to overcome Esav. Pel d'gezach. Otherwise, it's gor shver. Why didn't Esav go to his mother and get the special begadim? He never went to Yitzchak without those begadim. And here he doesn't have them. Now, what was the bracha? So Esav comes in and Esav says like this, no, Yakumavi, like he spoke, you know, like Esau spoke. And he says, I'm ready for the bracha. Yitzchak says, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your brother came in and he took the bracha. So Esau cries, and then he says to his father, can you give me one bracha? So what is that? Yeah, what does Yitzchak answer? No, I can't give you any bracha because you're the Eved, he is the Rav. And the halacha is that mashakana abdo kana rabba. Whatever an eved is kind of goes to his master. So anything I'm going to give you is going to automatically go to Yaakov anyway. It's an exercise in futility for me to give you a bracha. What are you going to do with the bracha? What are you going to do with it? Right? I'm going to give you something and all it goes to Yaakov. Can't give you a bracha. So Esau says, no, please give me a bracha. Ah, Esau says, yeah, I got a bracha for you. So what's the bracha? What's the bracha? Listen to what the bracha is. Right? He named Mishmane Archiyam Shavecha, gives him, you know, some gashmias. It says, now this is the Iker Bracha of Esav. How do I know it's the Iker Bracha of Esav? Because Esav himself later on in history uses this. And he uses this for the Bracha. He says, Ve'al Charbacha Sichia, you'll live by the sword. Ve'asachicha Tavod, and you'll serve your brother. But, Ve'ayok Asher Torid, when he will go down, Ufor Akto, Ulo Me'al Savarecha, then you'll shake off the yoke. And then you'll be the boss. What's Yitzchak saying over here? First he tells Esav, you don't have a bracha. Everything you have is going to Yaakov. Now all of a sudden, Yitzchak's mechadish a new bracha. He says you're going to live by the sword. And when Yaakov doesn't do what he's supposed to do, then you will take your sword and you will knock off your yoke and you will rule over Yaakov. I just thought he's an Eved. The answer is this is part of the avdus of Esav. Esav doesn't realize this, but this is all about. What is Esav doing over here? It says, Vayok Asher Tari, when Klal Yisrael sins. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to wake us up, right? Sometimes we fall asleep and we think, well, everything's going good. It's going to continue to be good. And we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're losing our Madrega and Ruchnius. We're losing our special stature. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remind us of what's the right thing to do. So you know what? He sends Esav, and he says, Esav, give him a patch, right? Yaakov's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Give Yaakov a patch so he'll go back on the road. So even this bracha that seemingly Esav is getting, it's not an independent bracha from Yaakov. It really is to serve Yaakov. But there's two ways to serve Yaakov. You can serve Yaakov because be a servant. Or if Yaakov's not behaving the way he should be, then you are given a special job. You have a job. Make sure that Yaakov toes the line. So therefore, anytime Yaakov would fall, then Esau would take a sword and remind us of that. If you go through Jewish history, this is exactly what's happened to us throughout the history. And it's a very painful period that we went through. We went through a lot of, if you look at Jewish history, we went through a lot of anguish from the Umas Ha'ilam. And we're still suffering from them. And the reason that's happening is because Vayok Asher Torid. When we lose our level, we lose our ability to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We lose our ability to understand that everything Hashem does is for our sake and He controls everything. Like the mashal of Amalek, remember the mashal? The mashal is a father is carrying a child on his shoulders. So the child walks around and the child says, you know what, I need that object on the floor. Can you get it for me? So father picks it up and gives it to him. An hour later, the kid says, "No, I'm very thirsty. Can you give me a drink of water?" So the father gives him a drink of water. And this happens about four or five times. All of a sudden, he's walking, and the son meets a guy on the street. So he asks the guy in the street, "Do you know where my father is?" "No, your father." So the father looks at him. You don't know where I am? I gave you this, I gave you that, I gave you this, and I gave you that. What do you mean you don't know where I am?" So he says, you don't know who I am?" Takes him off his shoulder, puts him down on the floor, and the dog comes and bites him. That's the mashal of Amalek. What's that all about? The answer is that's exactly what happened to the Jewish people in their history. They forget there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They take everything for granted. Where'd you get your water? Where'd you get a panasa? Where'd you get your clothes? Where'd you get everything you have in your world, right? Where'd you get up you wake up every day and you say, "Moda ani lefanecha," right? You woke up. That's pretty good. Not everyone does that, by the way, right? Most people wake up, a lot of people don't, right? And once you wake up, you can walk, you can talk, you can breathe, you can see, you can hear. That's all bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take it for granted. We don't appreciate it, right? If you say brachas, if your eyes are open when they're saying brachas, you'd realize what you're saying over there. You're claiming HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything, every your movement. It used to be in the old days, that when a person woke up, every time he did something, he said a bracha. As soon as he opened his eyes, he said Pokeach Ivri. So as soon as he moved, he said this bracha and that bracha. So you don't do that. We wait till we come to shul, and we say all the brachas together. But really, each bracha is on a special thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us every day. But sometimes we forget. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remind us. And that's what Esav's job is. So even then, the job of Esav was to remind Yaakov that you have to know what's going on. You have to realize that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Esav's not giving him the Musa Shmuz, but he is the vehicle through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Shmuz. This is the Avoda of Esav, and this is the Avoda of Yaakov. So again, Yaakov's Avoda was to take everything from Esav. The only thing left for Esav that he has is the ability to steer us right. At least that schus he has. That's not much of a schus, though, because he's not doing it, right? L'shem Shemayim. Remember the famous kasha that Rishonim asked? Why was Paro punished? What did Paro do wrong? L'chor, he was just following the tzivoy of Hashem. Hashem said to Avraham, B'risvet Avasarim, that you're going to be in a land and they're going to cause you servitude and you're going to have to work very hard in the land. So what does he do? He does his shlichus. So all the Rishonim ask, well, why is Paro punished? He's just doing what Hashem said. Yeah, he's just doing what Hashem said, but that's not why he did it, right? Paro did it because he was cruel, because he was mean. If Yitaka would have done it l'shem Shamayim, maybe, but he didn't. That's Esav, that's Paro, that's Nebuchadnezzar, that's all the evil people that went against us are all doing the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're all doing the purpose of Hashem. And that's their tachlis, because this was the job was given to Esav. That's the only thing he had left. He had nothing else left. Keep it all the time, he didn't have any more, right? Bechayra, he didn't have any more. So what do we need him for? That's what we need him for. That's what you need an Esav. That's why you need an Inyan of Zeh. So therefore, that's why we asked the question in the beginning. Why Yaakov's name? Because he wanted to grab the heel of Esav? Yeah, exactly. That's the mitzvah of a Yaakov throughout the history of the Jewish people. He is a person who takes everything from the Umas Olam. Anything good from the Umas Olam, Klal Yisrael gets. But one thing we can't take from them, the ability to keep us on the straight path. And that we want them to have because that's their ability. That's what they have. That's a little bit of understanding in this whole parsha of Yaakov and Esav. And this is a parsha throughout the history of Klal Yisrael to understand that that be'emes is the tachlis of what the Umas Olam are doing. Now, there are times, we'll be learning in the next week's parsha, where Esav realizes his purpose. He comes and he kisses Yaakov and he says, "You're my brother," and everything like that. There are times like that when they're friendly to us. But Lemaise, if you go through Jewish history, that's far in between when it's happened. There have been histories like this. Those of you from America, right, or those from Canada, from other countries, they are pretty nice nowadays, right? Some of them, right? But Lemaise, most of Jewish history is not like that. Most of Jewish history is when the goyim are giving us soros rabbles. But that's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to wake us up. If we were able to wake ourselves up, then we wouldn't have this whole problem. So our tachlis is, when we learn these parshas, to understand, we have a job. Our job is to be Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Our job is to teach the Umas HaOlam the correct way to live. And if we do that and they learn that, that's gevaldik. Then we can get Mashiach. If we don't learn that, then Mashiach is postponed. Then we just have to suffer a little bit more until we come to the message and realize that everything was created for us, everything was done for us. So these parshas are very important because whatever happens to Yaakov and Esav is going to happen to us. Ma'asav asim labonim. So if we study carefully what happened, the interaction between Yaakov and Esav, then we can understand what our job is in this world also. So Memela, It's not just parshas. We're reading stories over here, biblical stories. We are learning the history and the whole inyan of understanding what the whole world is all about. What are we doing over here? What the Umas Olam are doing about here? So therefore, it comes out that is our crew tachlis. Let's learn from the Esav and Yaakov. Let's learn what Yaakov had to go through, and let's learn also that the real tachlis of a yid is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible.